May 14, 2018 Metropolitan
Pool,
sorry. The Tequila Pool Metropolitan Park District Board of Commissioner meeting to order at 6 o'clock. And at this time, to read the Tequila Pool Metropolitan Park District Commission statement. And to provide a welcoming public aquatics facility managed in a fiscally responsible manner with focus on safety. We carry out this mission with the board and staff who are compensated,
compassionate,
inclusive, and responsive to the needs of the diversity of the community, working to foster, provide positive and lifelong experiences with aquatic environment. The Tequila Pool Metropolitan Park District vision statement is contributing to the quality of life for our community and for future generations through welcoming fun, safe, and positive aquatic experiences at the Tequila Pool.
Excellent.
Would you please stand with me for the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance
to the flag
of the United States of America
and to the Republic for which it stands.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And can we get roll call?
Sure.
We need a.
I'll do Commissioner Zapital present.
Commissioner Frangello Anderson present.
Commissioner Christine Newfer present.
Commissioner Shipman present.
District Administrator Richard Robb present.
And I'd like to make a motion, the Commissioner Zapital for the record, I'd like to make a motion to excuse Commissioner Gangler.
Commissioner Newfer seconds that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Passed. 4-0. And we also have Michelle Simpson with us on live feed here.
Oh, she is?
Which I guess we should put it on. Or do we want to wait until...
Was she going to call in for the whole meeting, though?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe we should call in once we get past
when we get to the part.
Let's not put her through any
form. Yeah, I didn't want her to have to call. I didn't want her to call in anyway.
No,
but I'm not beating on that.
Okay.
So I guess we're looking for a motion for approval of the consent agenda?
Or the approval of the agenda.
Or the agenda altogether.
Yeah. Commissioner Zapital makes a motion to approve the agenda.
Commissioner Newfer seconds the motion.
Do we have discussion on the agenda?
So I'm just curious how people feel about the layout. Is there whether you feel that we can get to enough things, or are there things that are higher priority that need to be moved up? I just wanted to ask that question.
Commissioner Frangello Anderson, for the record, I wasn't at last month's meeting, and I'm just going to put it out there since the question's posed. I'm thinking the commissioner stipends needs to be put to the next meeting because it's the president's recommendation, and I feel that the president should be here for that conversation because I wasn't here for the last one, so I think I feel it should move to the next meeting.
So, Commissioner Newfer, I couldn't hear you very well.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Were you talking about the stipend issue and possibly moving it to the next
correct
meeting?
Yes.
Are you going to make a motion on that?
Do I have to make a motion on that?
Do we need to?
Yes,
do
yeah.
We have to amend the motion.
We have
right
to amend the motion, yeah.
But is there other?
I'm in concurrent. I concur with that. I have one question which I can about the commissioner stipend, but it doesn't have to come in this. I can do it during district administrator's report. It's very specific to something that Richard had brought up. So I don't need to talk about the whole stipend. I think that's a conversation. I agree that needs to be the board if possible.
I did, as Commissioner Newfer, I think I did want to talk about it a little bit because I wanted to frame the next.
What it looks like.
What it looks like. But I don't know that it's going to fit anywhere else.
I just wanted to mention, I did get an email from Commissioner Newfer about a question about last year, the retreats. whether there is a stipend payment for
yes,
them.
Yes, it's there. Yes, it's in our resolution. That it's, I believe it says it right.
It does say it in the resolution, yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that was also just that when you did a table to kind of outline who's been at each meeting, but if the purpose was for stipend, I thought it might be good to go ahead and add the retreats on there as well. So
that'd be an awesome table to share with. I'd love to see that table.
But I like the spreadsheet that you made. It's simple, straight, simple. So easy to read.
I'll send that to you.
Yes, yeah.
That'd be cool. So
Christine, do you want to talk about it a little bit more?
I did want to. I guess I wanted to bounce it off of you guys to see what you thought, but I didn't think it was going to be a discussion where we made a kind of decision, because I know how important it is to our president. I would not vote to make a decision tonight on that issue without her here.
And I just feel this discussion needs to be with everybody.
It would be nice for Ellen to hear the discussion as well, though.
Yes, I agree. I think I have something
that's. Can you live with that?
Yeah, I can live with that.
She can hear it on the recording.
Yeah, but to participate in the discussion.
That's just my preference. I mean, I know that there's going to be a lot of discussion about it, and I just felt that President Gingrich should be here.
I actually didn't realize we were going to be talking. I thought it was going to be after. I can be honest. I thought it was after June, like when they adjust things, and I know Richard had presented something different. I thought we were going to be doing it after they make the determination. I guess that was my misunderstanding, but that's irrelevant. It's more that I just would like Ellen to be here because she presented it.
I think I can hold my thoughts for a month. Forget them in about a day.
Okay.
Was
there a second?
Before I make the motion to change that, was there any other? Do we want to do it all at once?
What else were you thinking, Terry?
I have to agree. I don't know that we will get through everything, but that was the one thing that I had.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah. So then I make a motion to amend the agenda to remove old business item 7A, social media, no, sorry, 7B, commissioner stipends.
Table it
to the June meeting when President Gingler can be present for the discussion.
Commissioner Newfer seconds that.
Make your life difficult.
Thank you. So can we take a quick vote then on the approval of making the change to the agenda for tabling item 7B until the June meeting when Commissioner Gingler will be available to be here? All in favor?
Aye. All opposed?
All opposed? Motion passes 4-0.
Excellent.
And then we have to still have to vote on the original motion?
Correct.
To pass the agenda.
And so we didn't have a second for that one. We opened that for discussion.
That was seconded.
That was seconded, yes.
So approval of the agenda as is with the change for the items. All in favor, aye.
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 Aye. All opposed? Passes 4-0.
Thank you.
And so do we need to have a go through for the approval for the consent agenda?
So we're here.
Oh, right. So do we want to have Michelle for that?
Do we want to have her suffer through everything? Or do we want to... She can talk to it.
We'll have
a
quick talk about it.
But we can do the recognition now.
We would like to do the recognition for the employee.
For the record.
For the record. Thank you. And I don't even have the. Oh, so the employee of the month is Austin Giles. I guess I have that later. Austin Giles Austin is a lifeguard here, and he has done an exceptional job cleaning and having a wonderful attitude every time he comes to work. He also is great about asking if there is anything else he can do after he has completed his tasks. And I would like to add to that, when I was at the pool this past weekend, he was an excellent person there when we were doing the dead of the day.
Okay, yes.
So well deserved.
Congratulations, Austin.
We have a card that, Richard, could you take that to the pool for
sure.
us and put it on Michelle's desk, please?
Sure.
That the commissioners have signed, and thank you.
And at this time, 6:10, I'd like to open the floor if there's any citizen comments.
Or signed up.
Citizens' comments,
which would
you
welcome?
Just, you'll find in the aquatics operations report that we've had a recent rash of robberies.
Do we need to mention it at all?
Thefts at the pool that's to the point that it needs to be addressed. It appears that we've had some gang activity that resulted in the loss of one individual's. And a close friend of mine, one of them, Dave Hunter, he actually worked on the pool committee to upstate the pool. And regular user, bullet guy. And he had his belongings stolen from his locker, his vehicle stolen from the lot.
Oh, jeez. Recently?
He's just now getting his vehicle back.
Recently? Recently he had it?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago.
Plus,
we've had several incidences where kids have been coming in for their swimming classes from Foster and have been stealing the guards, they've been going in to grab towels or whatever from the employee areas and have stolen guards' belongings and personal belongings. So it's gotten to the point where, having been around for a number of these events now, month, that we're being targeted. We've become an easy mark, unfortunately. And I would like to propose that the board and the finance committee try to come up with some money within the budget to install some cameras in the entryway outside, in the lobby, and in the entrance, the breezeways that enter into the pool, just so that we can monitor activity and help the police have gotten some information from the Foster cameras and stuff, but you're trying to put two and two together. They haven't made any arrests according to Dave or Tom to Dave just the other last Friday, and they haven't been able to make any arrests in this case. They definitely know who the individuals were. They were able to get them. At least why it's five out of the seven gang members who were involved in this thing. So they're known to law enforcement. But it would sure be probably the time to think about trying not to be so much of a target, and cameras I think would be one way to do it. But unfortunately, a second idea I had was making sure that we have front office staff in there. It's not that the demands are based on patron usage, it's just that during these times of the day that I tend to visit the facility, but it's also happening on weekends when it's really busy. But now that it's happening, in a lighter use times, it's because the guards are exchanging at the deck and somebody sneaks in and does their thing. I've actually witnessed two individuals coming in. Don't know if it's the same two that stole Dave's truck a week or two later, but they came in, I was in the shower. There was three patrons that we were in the locker room dressing. And they came in, one of them just took a look, saw people in there, and backed up and went out the door, and they came in. The other one made a quick beeline around the, to go out the other door, and off they went. So they were definitely in there to do no good, and trying to see what they could come away with. And it was pure and simple. And they were wearing hoodies, one a white hoodie and another one a red hoodie, so I don't know if it was gang related. Definitely doesn't relate to them, but one recommendation for cameras that I would give was, Frula is a local business in Tacoma, and they do monitoring systems. They might be a good control the activity so that we don't become more of a target. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bookie. Just for the record, the address for Dave Bookie is 3748 South 152nd Street, Tequila, Washington, 98168. Thank you.
Well, I'll call it first.
Commissioners Abdul, for the record. Thank you, Dave. This has escalated. I believe a lot of the board members are probably aware of it. In fact, I was on the phone with Michelle just last Thursday, and she had to get off the phone quickly because the front desk person, who was a guard, chased someone out of the locker room, and Michelle ran chasing them down the road and got a description of them, called the police, told them that they were going in that direction. And so it is something that I know operations is very aware of and is not okay with, you know, becoming a target, so.
Law enforcement's not really, with the loitering laws being abolished, basically, and leaving in all of the trespass laws, that's been discussed in other community events that I've been to. And I discussed it with the city last week, you know, because the only thing that you can do is trespass, but through law enforcement, it's very limited as to what action can be taken, especially with a public facility. And so there's really not a whole lot of support for law enforcement unless they can, you know, but they take the reports, they do the follow-up, that seems to be about it. It's not preventing the events from coming, you know, it's after the fact.
So I think I think operations is going to be, look, I know TPAC has made recommendations about security cameras also, so I think, yeah, this is not something we take, that anyone's taking lightly.
It's unfortunate. And the only reason why I bring this up is because we've gotten a reputation now amongst the nefarious youngsters in the community. So until you show them that you're going to do something about it, it's going to keep getting worse and worse. It's like an abandoned house. It's a window broken, and next thing you know, the whole place is trash, and all of us are living inside of it.
But there's been discussions about, I know the our director has had discussions with staff about not allowing the Tukwila school kids to come into the break room to get towels on their own, to, you know, to become more aware about, you know, limiting the public to public areas and not allowing people into areas that they're not supposed to be, and that Michelle's husband installed during the Done in the Day one-way locks on the employee locker room, so hopefully the employees' stuff will be a little bit safer.
I think we were also looking at, Commissioner Shipman, for the record, looking at installing new locks for the lockers in the employee locker room
or
space too.
Some kind of locking, yeah.
Right. So we can kind of try to double down on that. But I think that the cameras is a good idea too, because I think, I mean, A, that we'd be able to maybe ID some of the people that are causing the problem, but also it is, a deterrent just having them there. But my concern is that we don't have a policy for that.
Yeah, so Christine Newfer, or Commissioner Newfer, did some research on that. And do you know where that landed?
I believe that I shared what I found out so far.
Right.
At your suggestion, I contacted the Fidago pool, and they don't have a camera policy, but they have a commissioner who works at a hospital and is apparently in charge of their camera system.
Yes.
And so what they set up is, sounds like a very standard type thing, where you have the interior cameras. They don't do the exterior because apparently there may be liability for a crime on the outside if you have a camera there, because people think that you are watching over their things. And they keep the films they don't really keep the films, but the video exists for 30 days and then disappears. And I don't know how that would work with our laws on preserving.
So I actually did, Commissioners, I've actually looked at some of that. Mm-hmm. And my understanding, because I wanted to know about it, is that we have to be able to disclose it for 30 days. Mm-hmm. So however, what format, so it's 30 days. But if we identify a crime, or identify an incident, not a crime, but an incident, then we have to capture that portion of it and retain that for 6 years.
Okay. Okay. That sounds similar to, I don't know that they were capturing it for 6 years, that I can't
But just
say,
the
but
portion
they were capturing
of it, yeah.
The incident when one would happen.
Just because that's what I understand from the records retention when I looked at various places. So that's helpful. I mean, we can, you know.
So what is our next step? I mean, we've talked about this. This has come up a couple of times, and we don't have a policy in place. Is that something that we need to put into place before we can put the cameras up?
Yeah, you need to have a policy in place, wouldn't you say?
Well, I think so.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I just don't know where we stand with where that falls in
creation.
Our schedule.
So let's throw this back to Michelle.
Well, I was thinking about that too. So, I mean, I think that we need to get it taken care of, like, as soon as we possibly can get it taken care of. And so is the Finance Committee meeting this week?
2 weeks.
No, next week. Monday.
It's a week.
Wondering about, what kind of financial impact it's going to have to have the cameras put in, or if we can do, like, just a quick look at that part of it on the books.
So I'm going to be honest. Michelle's gone all week. I don't think she's going to be able to get bids and information to us. Because as far as she needs to really direct it.
It has to come from operations.
And so she has to say, hey, this is what I'm proposing. I'm proposing this or that, and we can have a discussion about it. But, I agree, there needs to be a policy in place before we actually do anything. So unless someone would like to get a bid together.
Well, this is Commissioner Newfer. I know that we talked about it in TPAC a little bit. I don't know. We've used TPAC.
Yes.
Policy writing before, maybe TPAC might be interested in doing some of this legwork. The head of TPAC isn't here, but our TPAC meeting is Saturday.
I think it might be something we could talk to them about putting on the agenda, just trying to get that written and taken care of, and then maybe be able to. I'd like to see something go out to all the commissioners too to look at it for pre-approval and look at if there's any redlining they'd like to do to the policies if it does come out. And then if need be, put together like a quick special meeting to be able to pass it once we do have a policy ready to go so we're not waiting another month.
No, I appreciate that. To try to expedite it. We can certainly talk about it in finance, but we're going to have some more information on
it. Is it something that TPAC, Commissioner Frangelo Anderson, that TPAC could possibly do the legwork, or is it something that operations would have to do the bidding?
I want to say that it really would be up to
Michelle
to decide what she thinks would be best practice, to bring, different contract, different bids in, to get a bid as far as, and I don't know if she's an expert on what is needed. Typically, just from my experience, what you do is you bring in two or three different contractors and ask, what would you do?
Right.
And get their expert opinion rather than saying, this is what I think we should do. And then you can pare it down for budget if you need to.
I mean, I'm also interested, cost-wise, to be able to keep the cost down if we, for the time being, even, say, buy a couple of Nests and have that set up onto a cloud system or Arlo's or whatnot, and be able to have, say, two of those for the time being just to show that we're doing something, and then we can have some sort of record if there is somebody there that, is questionable for it. And then look into the budget for next year for putting a more robust expensive system.
No, and I think that's an excellent suggestion, but I still think we need to have the policy in place.
And that's what I'm saying, I think the policy, but I think for the, just to get cameras up as soon as we possibly can, I think we should get the policy and look at the budget and say we're going to be looking at, say, like around $400 for two cameras, whether it's like an Arlo or like a Nest or some other similar type of camera. And start paying for the service to do that for the time being.
But the policy, so it's my turn to be at TPAC on Saturday.
Okay.
So I will bring it to TPAC regarding a security policy.
Can you bring or send out Christine's policies that she found? I can't remember where that was.
I think I shared it, but it was through the email, but I believe it was WCIA shared. A policy from another.
That was member. That was kind of a law enforcement one.
Yeah, well, it's just a sample, but I believe they shared. That was where I received that, and I shared that.
If I think of anything to you,
And I'll do some research too, and see if I have anything else I can present with along with it to see if this is something that they want to
even do
take on. Yes. But we have to definitely have to have the policy, in place.
Fidalgo did not use audio, and they only used video, but there, I've noticed that the Metro buses, with disclosure, use audio visual. By boarding the bus, you basically agree to have your conversations recorded. So there might be a way to do audio as well. Maybe I'll pull some down from Metro, you know, King County may have something.
I will look into that.
So
and put that together for
that discussion
for
then.
TPAC, yeah. Okay. Excellent, thank you.
Thank you.
So should we move along to agenda item number 5 to get a motion for the consent agenda?
Commissioner Frangiello Anderson makes a motion to approve consent agenda item A, approving the minutes of the Tukwila Pool Metropolitan Park District Board of Commissioners regular meeting April 9th, 2018.
Commissioner Zabdiel seconds.
Discussion?
I see Jerry's got notes.
Not on that idea.
Okay.
I know my little flags always give it away. None? No discussion?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? No, okay. Passes at 4.
That's just for the minutes, right?
Just the minutes.
Yeah, consent atomy. So now I need a motion to consent agenda approve vouchers.
Can I get a motion for item number 5B, the consent agenda approval of vouchers?
Commissioner Zappel does a motion to approve the vouchers as amendment as a presented. Thank you, Dave.
I have to go to another meeting.
Yes, all right, thanks, Dave.
I'm there in spirit.
Yeah, I would like to be. Oh, Commissioner Frangiello Anderson seconds.
Do we have any discussion?
No discussion.
Okay, all in favor of passing consent agenda 5B, approval of vouchers. Say aye.
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 All opposed? Aye for my record. Passes 4-0.
Excellent. You're doing a fantastic job here.
So you're already up to 6.
Look at you go. You're almost halfway there.
And the time is 6:21. We're on the number 6A of the agenda, commissioner reports. Would anybody like to begin?
Let me start. Commissioner Frangiello Anderson, very small report. I did attend the April Pools Day. Excellent in attendance. It was so nice to have the kayak club do their, it just was very well organized and operations. It's a big kudo. I mean, it did great. Was also at Done in a Day, working in the break room. It still looks nice. I haven't been back up there, but kind of organized some stuff around there. And to Di and Sharon, who worked outside, looked great. The flowers that Di has donated every, and the iris is coming back every year. It looked so nice because they had just done the yard, so it was just great. And I also attended the finance committee meeting. I don't remember the date. Sorry.
It's all blur.
No.
Commissioner Zabdiel, I also attended the Finance Committee on April the 23rd. It's written down, that's the only reason I know.
Okay.
The audit just continues to be so written, and I'll ask Richard later about that, but attended April Pools Day, and thank you to the Tukwila Fire Department, to Echo from Tukwila Library, and the Washington Kayak Club. Those are our core partners, and it definitely makes a difference to have those partners involved in helping promote water safety. It's wonderful. I also attended a day, end of my report.
And Commissioner Newfer, I was able to stop by for a little while on April Pool's Day, and it was a really, really well-run event. So that's all I have to report.
Commissioner Shipman, I attended TPAC meeting April Pool's Day, which I got to go with everybody else. It was really well ran. I was excited to see that there was so much of it based on water safety and that it wasn't just a free swim and a free-for-all. I like that there was actually education going on for it. And yeah, definitely a huge appreciation and thanks to the fire department, the kayaking club, and Echo with the library. And then I also attended finance meeting this month too. And then also the Den of the Day, which again, was amazing to see how quickly you can make it so wonderful with the flower and landscaping outside with Sharon and Di. And then I had the wonderful fun of changing on light bulbs.
And also thanks to Michelle's husband and kids and for helping it done in a day too.
Yeah. Really all the volunteers that came and helped out that day and all the other times that they're cool doing stuff. Okay, moving on to the finance report.
So, Commissioner Zappa, for the record, the finance report is presented. Does anyone have any questions with it as presented? I do have a couple of things, which I bet Jerry will notice. Maybe you didn't.
Maybe not.
In the future, Richard, I'm not sure if this was just how you got it, but the page, and I know the pages are gone here, so I'm going to assume it's page 27-ish. And it's, anyways, the credit card purchases. And for some reason, it looks like it got printed in landscape in all the totals. The version we got at our finance meeting, because we get to a preview on this, and the version we got has all the, normally we get is, has the total amounts of the credit card amounts. And this version...
37.
Sorry. This version does not. So I don't, just for a note for future.
It is this one, right?
What's wrong with it?
Okay, well, when I got it, Jerry, this is what mine looks like.
Oh, this is the one I printed off.
Huh.
How interesting.
How did I get this?
I don't know.
Because I picked this up from my...
Mine is missing the... This Commissioner Newfer, mine is missing the total column.
Oh, interesting.
At the bottom. You know, I think this I think is a printer setting issue that she printed it out fit to page.
Right. Okay. So
that's interesting.
I just wanted to make a note that, you know, if we can just, probably if you look at it, I didn't look at it online, probably then you will see it all. So at least for the public record, it's going to look
That's
fine.
Interesting that mine printed, huh?
Yeah,
I
do.
So I did not notice it.
This was one I just picked up from the pool.
Oh, that's...
You would have, I guess you would have noticed.
I would have, yes.
Oh, and then Ellen probably printed mine out separately too.
So it's okay.
It got cut off because of the printer setting.
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool.
And I'm going to follow up with Christine Selleck on this. There's also a slight difference in what we got at Finance Committee on the profit and loss regarding CIP. So that's on page 35 where it shows $1,542.20 at the very bottom. That should be in the general fund. That should be coming out of the capital improvement fund because that was part of the slide, I believe. But this is different than what we received, so I will just follow up with Christine on that. And then a report on the finance meeting on April 23rd, the finance committee authorized an increased expenditure for assistant manager category to provide required coverage, because when it was calculated for how many hours for total coverage, it wasn't quite accurate. By significant number of hours a week. The number of hours we were open didn't equal the number of full-time people that we have. So Chris, our director, was filling in all the extra hours and that's wrong. So we had to do an adjustment and authorize the increased expenditure. It will not change we don't have to amend any budgets because the budget actually includes our opening balance when we do our budget. But that was, we actually, it was also a special meeting of the board for that meeting. So you're going to see, hopefully, an increased expenditure there at some point to get proper coverage. We received the template for the prevailing wage contracts from the attorney, and staff will be implementing for all of our current contracts and any new contracts. So I gave it to staff and said, if they need help, let me know. I haven't heard anything, so I'm assuming staff is running with it. So I will follow up with them, though. And I know Christine, our bookkeeper, has completed our May 31st filing with the state auditor office. So she's done it, she's completed it, she's filed. So we made that deadline, and she feels very good about it. She had a great free training from mm-hmm. someone from there. So they helped her walk it through, and so she feels very confident about the numbers. Our next finance meeting is May 21st at 5 p.m. It's slated from 5 to 8. I made a mistake, apparently, the first time, put 5 to 7, and I was called on it. anyone have any questions? That's, I think, oh, then policies. So we also did the policy 535, which is to do with cash receiving, and we did go through that. These policies is becoming more of a work session, a little bit more so than I'd originally anticipated. So people are really working through it at the meeting, so we're having to scale back our schedule of policies. So we're really just doing one per meeting, and that was then sent to TPAC, so it will be coming to the June agenda for the BOC. And we'll keep you updated.
Is it worth to mention the next policy that we're going to cover, the 511?
511.
Is that right?
Yes.
We'll be at the next one.
511.
Sorry, which policy is there?
So the next one that we will be coming here is 535, which is cash receiving. So it was cash management, that kind of thing. So Christine, our bookkeeper, was very helpful. I mean, it took a long time to get all those processes detailed in the policy well enough so that although policy shouldn't be about so much about processes, we have come to learn that we do need to put more in the policy, because we just don't want people to not do it. And if it's easy, although it becomes longer and process heavy, it makes it very clear what our expectations are. And so she was very helpful in how it actually works, mm-hmm. wouldn't you say?
Yes.
The proper wording. Yeah. So
it made it easier to put the policy together. And then the policy that we're reviewing a week from today is policy 511, which is the revenue policy.
Revenue policy. Okay. So money's coming in. That shouldn't be so long.
Do you jinx yourself?
God, it's so funny. And Richard is making sure he creates the straight through versions for us so that we can see what it was that was different, and which is very helpful.
Yes, that's very helpful. Thank you, Richard.
Any questions on finance?
If you look at the table, all the items in red are overdue.
Well, it's interesting it's overdue, because it's not overdue on my finance committee calendar, because I update mine monthly.
Well, and you have to keep in mind that when this was made, it was a rough guide. I just put every policy on there and probably overloaded.
I'm glad you're on the finance committee now, Jerry.
Yeah. So this is something, I don't know, maybe would be a talk about at the retreat.
Yeah.
To rework some of this. Would be, because again, it was just a guide when I created it.
Sure.
So I get that they're overdue, but technically that's just a bad organization.
Yeah, I only bring it up as a way to indicate that we need a plan to revise and catch up.
Yeah, so I will talk about that at the finance committee meeting, because I've been my little table. I've got to send out my minutes and stuff, and I've got the little table I send out to finance every time with, you know, updating our schedule and where we're at with those
and
policies.
When will I get the agenda for the
agenda and minutes? It will be soon. It will be before Wednesday.
Oh, good. Thank you.
So we're all good with discussions. Any questions for finance?
So do we want to call Michelle for this now?
We should move along then to 6C, the Director of Aquatic Operations. So we need to take a quick couple minutes here to give Michelle a quick call and get her online.
21st, and the ones that we get at finance are run that day, whatever, March the 23rd. Do you run these, or does Christine run?
Christine.
I just wonder why they're different, because if it's for a time period, why would this be showing up and it doesn't show up?
I just insert them verbatim.
Yeah, okay. I got to talk to her about that, because it's different than what we got, and I just got to remind her that it actually shows up correctly. If you look at the budget report, it shows it here in the CIP budget, but it's reflecting it here in the general. So I got to talk to her about general.
We're just getting you set up.
Versus CIP on QuickBooks. Yeah.
We didn't get a written report from Michelle.
See.
Yeah.
Because we did.
Yeah, it's right here.
Yeah, oh, is that? I'm sorry, I was looking at Richard's, which was 2 pages. Sorry.
It's on the back of the credit card.
Oh, it's in, okay. Oh, I see. This always throws me off. Hi, Michelle.
We're dying of heat up here.
It's really warm. As long as we can hear her, okay.
Is everybody here, okay? Do you want to talk, Michelle, so we can all hear you?
Do what?
So I'm going to turn the volume up a little bit more on you.
Okay.
Oh, that's maxed out.
We're talking to an astronaut in orbit.
A lot of noise there back there.
Can you guys hear me in there?
Yes. Hear us?
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, Michelle.
Hey, Richard. So I'm on the agenda packet. Are we on page 38 on my report now?
Correct.
Yes.
It's the Michelle Simpson show.
So it's my turn?
Yes.
Yes. Having front desk staff more permanently there. So Jerry said that she would take the security camera policy that Christine found to TPAC on Saturday to see if they'd be interested in reviewing the policy.
Okay.
So what's your feeling on the cameras right now? Like, where are you at, or what are you feeling about security in general?
Yeah.
So, and then the very next day, we had three different boys, and I was sitting at the front desk, and they came in, and at first, they told me they were cutting the school, like with the class, and I've seen these boys before. They used to take the class. They were in the last semester's class, and at first, it took me a second, because they said, oh, we're part of the class, and the class had been in the water for at least 20 minutes, and I was like, wow, you boys are really late. And then I looked at them for a second, and I said, wait a minute, you're not in this class. You're in the last semester's class. And they were trying to get into the locker room, so I kicked them out. They said, oh, we want some water. And I said, no, nope, I'll go out. I'm not in here. Just leave. So I made them leave. They were up to no good. So I told Tim and let the staff know that that if the kids are coming over, because this was during the school day, they should have been in school. If they're coming over during the school day, we're not letting them in. So that's just the way it's going to be for right now.
So have you had anyone breaking into lockers that were secured, or is it all people who haven't locked their items?
It's all people that have not locked their items yet.
Well, that's one good thing. Why they're not good for them, but at least
right.
We don't have that.
Right, so if items were secured, they wouldn't have an issue, obviously. So thankfully, it's kind of ironic that we're having these issues after. Most of them have been after we've gotten the lockers so that you can bring your iPad lock. So we have done some item security where we've changed the staff locker room lock to where it locks behind them, and they all have a key, so they can put their stuff in there if they want. I told them they're welcome to use the padlock lockers in the locker rooms to store their stuff if they want to bring a padlock. So that's where we are right now. We'll see if it gets better. But I did find out the day before I left, to come here, that the guy that had his car stolen a couple weeks ago, he gave me an update. They did find his car. He hasn't received it back yet. He's not sure when he will. But when they left the pool with his stolen vehicle, they got into a car wreck. And that's how they caught them. And they found, and when the police got there, those kids had guns on them.
Oh, great. Don't need that.
So I am very thankful that it happened the way that it happened, and that they weren't confronted because they had guns personally on them. That's very scary. So, anyway, I think cameras would be very helpful. It would somewhat protect the staff in the case that we would need it. So that would be an interesting conversation on Saturday.
So, Michelle, this is Christine. And
hi,
you were talking about the kids that you recognized from the class last semester. Because you remember these particular kids as being associated with Boston High School, they do have a community, or they do have a resource officer in the school. He might be aware of some problems, and maybe it would be worth having a small conversation to see if he could be helpful.
I said I've already done that.
Oh, okay.
I called the police officer. They sent the resource officer over because he was the closest one.
Okay.
So I have his business card, and he and I talked, and he asked if we had cameras because I was trying to describe to him the kids that I was chasing after, and so we did have a conversation. He was aware of the issues that were happening, and he told me that if any of the kids come over from the school during the day, we just need to kick them out, which is what I've been doing.
Okay.
I'm not allowing them to drink from the water fountain, so to speak. One kid said, I just want to drink from the water fountain. I'm like, we have water fountains at school. So, I mean, you know, when they lied to me that they were in the class and they were coming to class and one day locker rooms, you're not getting water for me, you know? So
it's okay. it sounds like you've heightened, you've taken more precautions now, and we're gonna try and see what we can do to get cameras and what it's gonna take to get policy in place and the costs and everything. So is that seem like something that would be agreeable to you to expedite that item?
Yeah, I do, for sure. Maybe, because I mean, honestly, Lucas was at the front desk when those, Lucas was the one, the staff member who ran the kids out and then I ran after them. And Lucas was at the front desk when those kids came in that wanted water, so to speak, and mine came up being in class. And Lucas was at the front desk when those kids came in to steal the car. And all three times that he was involved, he saw these three, they're always three kids. They were never the same kids. So my thought process is that the word has gotten out amongst these kids, or adults, or whatever, that we're an easy steal. You know, just go to the locker rooms, like they must be talking to each other, because it's not the same kids with those in three instances. I can't say for the others, but it's interesting because I really think that it's just we're like the hit list right now, so I'm hoping that word will get out, that we're trying to be much stricter about who's coming in there.
Well, this is when it happens. Thefts escalate in April and May when the kids are out walking around. It's just typical. But swimming pool, it's in the news periodically, swimming pools and getting targeted for theft. I don't remember a time when it's not been in the last 4 or 5 years that I don't hear of other Seattle pools or Des Moines or, you know, other pools. It's just swimming pools, people leave their stuff and it's unattended. So, so it sounds like you're escalating that. So thank you.
Moving right along to my report, you'll see, if you might have any questions about it, but our school system program is still definitely going very strong. We're definitely hiring we're definitely training a lot of swim instructors. So I'm expecting May to be, I'm hoping that May numbers are going to be just awesome, because we're going to have so many lessons going at one time. But that's basically it with last April we had 109 kids, this April we had 186, so that's a big difference. And then with maintenance, the only thing that happened in April, since we're talking about April, was we had some drains that were stopped up that we had cleaned out. And general pool, we had that we talked about the theft, and then at the end of the day, I want to thank everybody that came to that. That was a huge success, and we got a lot of little things done. Something, a lot of things that we got done, people don't, that they come to the pool may not recognize, but it's one of the, hopefully they did. And then that talked about swim lesson, that we have a lot of staff, and we have a couple of new lifeguards. And I'm still looking for an assistant manager. So any questions about that?
Commissioner Zappel, for the record, Michelle. I did notice, I want to say I saw, I think I was looking at assistant manager and it said part-time. And I know that it is, I know you're looking for kind of part-time, but I'm wondering if that, because am I correct in hearing that you didn't get as many applicants as you were hoping? That I was just wondering if you're looking at 30 hours, it might be deterring people. They might not realize that it's not just 15 or 20.
You have the option to, I'm trying to log in and look at it right now. You have the option to put part-time and full-time. And so I was able to change it, and I changed it before I...
Okay.
I changed it, I guess about a week ago. A week ago Friday. So, literally, it's so maddening because I've gotten most of the applicants, they stated
been a while. I looked at it initially, so if you've updated, I just made that comment that sometimes that might
enter. Okay. Yes. Yeah, it says full-time, comma, part-time.
Okay.
So it's got those listed.
How's your staffing levels other than that?
Do what?
How is your staffing levels other than that?
Oh, other than that, my staff levels they're great right now. They still need to increase for the summer because of all the summer camps that we have. With the increased amount of people that we have in the water at one time. So, but right now we are fully staffed for our current status of the pool, but need to increase for the summer.
Especially on swim lessons. Excited to see.
Yeah, they look amazing. I'm very, very happy with that.
And just one thing, I'm not sure if anyone else feels this way. I was just curious where we were as far as Kaiser scholarships given out to date. And I know that we do it monthly. And I just hate to do more work. I actually went and just added it up for the previous months because I was curious if how much we've given out of our 15,000. Is it 15?
Yeah.
Ish.
Part of that's for the advertising and everything.
Yeah. So just a comment. I don't know if people care that much about it, but I was just.
You're giving a percentage, is that what you said?
No, I mean, in April it was great. The Kaiser showed we used $2,384 of our grant.
Yes.
I was just wondering how much we've used to date. Do you think we're going to be used the whole thing by the end of the year?
Oh, you want to know how much we've used up to date, year to date?
I was just curious. For this
yeah, I can actually tell you that in about just like maybe a minute and a half. Would you like to know that information?
Because this is through April, so January, February, March, April, so a trimester, so with a third of the year gone. And
yeah, I can tell you how much we've used through today. So if you give me just a second, I'm gonna log right in. It'll take me about 30 seconds to pull it up.
I'm just saying, I'm guessing we're using more in the summer, or we will be.
Well, and once the advertising gets up and running, too, isn't she still doing advertising for it?
Okay, so 6,200. Okay, and approximately of that, I want to say, is it 15,000 is what's for the swim lesson allocation? Is that right? Or 10,000?
It's supposed to be 15,000 for swim lessons, okay. And then the junior lifeguarding camp that we're having this summer, which is advertised in our brochure. So we have $8,760 left over.
with only a third of the year so far, so that's...
Mm-hmm. With the busier months coming up.
Yeah, okay. Good job.
Yeah, it's awesome that we've been able to offer that. We would like for everybody to know that it's between 4 and 6, it might be 6 now, autistic children that cannot take lessons in a group setting, that are using the Kaiser funds for group, for private lessons. And that's something that's really awesome. If anything, that's been the most rewarding thing that we've been able to do for me personally. One of our school instructors, her brother, has Down syndrome, and he's not high-functioning Down syndrome, so he used to take lessons before, I believe, with Malcolm, and then he hasn't had lessons since then. And he's on free and reduced lunch, or free lunch, and so is his sister, who actually works for me. And the mom came in and talked to me and found out, about Kaiser through her daughter that works for us, and told me that she was just in tears because she said that it was really important to her for her son to learn how to swim, and he was going to stop taking swim lessons because they couldn't afford them, and the Tacoma resident scholarship was not supporting the private lessons. And so this has been amazing that we can use the Kaiser funds for that. So it's been great. People don't have to pay anything, so it's just really exciting.
This is Christine. I think that maybe we should look at proposing an amendment to our scholarship program when people with disabilities that need the one-on-one attention would they be able to more obviously accommodate that. I think if somebody came in and said, this is my situation, that it might be able to be accommodated because we have to follow ADA. However, maybe making it a little more obvious.
Yeah, I think that's a great notation. Let's take a look and see if we can use our, because it may be that we can, it's just right now that's not how it's being implemented.
Yeah.
May not specifically do that, so let's take a look and see if procedurally you can do it.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure that if there were other autistic parents of autistic and developmentally disabled kids, they would send people down. Back to ARC, who has quite a presence on this end of town, would probably be more than happy to let people know that this Kaiser money is out there. So,
yeah.
Yeah, the word is spreading because we are definitely getting more. I had a lady 2 weeks ago come in and say, hey, my son is autistic, you really can't do a group setting. I heard you guys are doing scholarship and you can help us. And I was like, absolutely, here's the form. This is how they started the very next day. So, and then when I went
Yeah, I was going to say, what happened? Did you just hit your leg?
Cramping your leg. Oh, I drink some more water. Yeah, so Michelle, if Christine wants to follow up, take a look at the actual policy 300, maybe not the process, because basically it just says scholarship is a partial or complete reduction of fees or resident rates for a Tukwila Pool program or pass.
So
it's
possible.
It's open-ended.
Yeah, we did that on purpose.
This is another one of those. I listened to the previous person that told me, oh, you can't do that, and I'm just remembering that. So,
I mean, a lot of this discretion is at the discretion of the director. You know, at the director's discretion. Yes. So, I mean, obviously, if you don't want to do, I'm assuming you don't want to exclusively do something and exclude others. I mean, the intention is inclusive. So.
Well, then it's also set up to where the first lesson, which is only one, with private lessons, is free, and then the next one's 75% off, and then everyone ever asked about is 50, is the way our application states.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would need to change it, because half of a private lesson is $15 every time they come for 30 minutes, and people can't afford that, so it's not feasible.
Yeah, so just think about it, how that it could be applied, because I mean, we obviously you've got a balancing act there, but
is the Kaiser policy being administered by that policy?
No, this is our
totally separate.
So it is completely separate. So that might be the good
model
bucket to go to right now.
Right now we want to do that.
Yeah,
and then
the Kaiser. Okay.
Yeah. Right now we're reserving the Tukwila resident scholarship funds for super strokes and pre-comp kids. Because Kaiser strictly wants to reserve those funds for kids to learn to swim, and super strokes and pre-comp, they already know how to swim.
Right.
So.
Great.
That's
exciting.
Right now. And of course, when we run out of Kaiser money, we'll go back to allowing the Tukwila residents to use the Tukwila residents funds the way we were before we had Kaiser.
And out of curiosity, is there any thought whether this might be replicated next year, or is this just literally a one-year thing? It'd be a shame to build this up and then our numbers won't be very comparable next year.
Yeah, I don't know if Kaiser, we've got some information that we have to give them, and I don't know if they are going to allow. I mean, I think if we really sell to them that this was very, very beneficial to our community and how important it has been, and I'm capturing stories, I've gotten one so far. We want to capture those stories of how it's impacted people's lives, and if we can really sell this to Kaiser that there are our people in our community really need it, and it's been very helpful, then I'm hoping that we will get this again.
I'm just being a little cautious here. I know there were deadlines last year, and so I wouldn't want to get to the point next year in September and they say, oh, well, but you needed to apply in July for this if you want it. I don't know if this is like an appropriate time to reach out and say, is there a chance? We just don't want to miss a grant deadline. I know companies are kind of sticky on that.
Yeah.
So, do you guys have any other questions about my report?
Mm-hmm. No. Sorry, I'm just going to say, I just have the summer brochure is not up on the website yet.
It should. Was it not today?
Well, not at like 2 o'clock. So, I know that you had a different schedule for, May to June, whatever, and then I just wanted to make a note.
I emailed Kim before I left to ask, this was last week, I asked him to, because we have, it's there, I see it.
Oh, good, okay.
So everybody is good with Michelle's report.
Mm-hmm. We'll be able to stay on for the rest of the meeting, so we can, I can be here for the rest, like, when we're talking about the original items.
If you want to.
That would be helpful.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure my mom put the kids to bed, so I'm not listening. I don't hear a little feet in her pattern, so I'm good.
Well then, time is 7:14, and move along to 6D, the district administrator reports.
My report starts on page 42. I also have some last minute items to bring up, but are there any questions about the written part of my report?
This is Commissioner Schumann. I had under 7 with the WCIA audit reports, but I saw that you put a thing out with part of the email report on the results of the audit, and that there were no mandatory audit requirements for the follow-up this year, but are there things on the report that are suggested items that we should be looking at?
Not in her report. Her report is that letter. That's it, essentially. She did make a few suggestions, particularly about the language that we have in our volunteer form contract and the form that we give to the volunteers, the issue of drug testing. She had a suggestion about that. She also helped me out, Michelle. Do you remember all of Carlene's suggestions? She said both.
Suspect something, and then there's another
Yeah, she was real satisfied with everything that we told her. We answered all of her questions completely. It was kind of a no-brainer, but she did mention that this is the last year that we'll be able to do this kind of audit, and the next year is going to be much more extensive, a personnel audit.
Well, I think we got some information that you that everyone can work towards. I think last meeting I remember reading a whole section on personnel, and I suggested it might be a good thing to start going through and looking at throughout the rest of this year, so you can be prepared. Erin, I have a question, the commissioner's out to open the record, about this. Excellent job, guys. I mean, nice job on this WCI audit. I just saw that there was two additional trainings necessary. Do we have a plan to fulfill that requirement?
What number are you talking about?
I'm sorry, the compact status and training requirements. It says that the members need to attend two additional trainings. Do we have a plan for that?
Yes. We've already fulfilled two of the three for this year. I did one in January. Michelle did one. When did you go to that one, Michelle?
February.
In February. So the third one will be the full board in October.
Okay. Oh, I'm just reading. It says the member will need to attend two additional
trainings.
Just one.
That was with
okay, April 25th. Yeah, okay, so you've got two out of three, you've got one to go. So
right.
Good.
Right.
Just wanted to make sure we didn't lose that.
So on the 25th, I'm going to be speaking with Mike Saunders at the State Archive Office in Bellevue about the grant proposal that we're going to apply for. The window of opportunity for that opens up in July. They don't yet know the exact date, but I'll theoretically get that information from Mike on the 25th.
That's helpful. Thank you.
Now, on Friday, I attended a training session with the Seattle Southside Chamber of Commerce at the suggestion of Mayor Eckberg. And I came away from that with a very good feeling about that organization. And I'm going to pass out some of their literature that they gave me. And I want to suggest that the board consider membership in the Southside Chamber of Commerce. Their criteria for the rate at which they charge members is based on the size of the company for full-time equivalency of employees. And I wrote an email to Michelle and CC'd Ellen and Jerry on it already. Didn't do a third commissioner for the quorum issue, but I'll pass around a copy of that letter. The training that was given was concerning the new paid sick leave law, and some of the suggestions that were made by Suzanne Sternholm, the presenter, were rather concerning. She said that, number one, the employee handbook section covering paid sick leave should be at least two pages long. Now, let me back up a little bit. She said that Labor and Industries has decided to begin a period of audits of all companies in Washington for compliance with the new law, that those audits are going to begin in June of this year, next month, and that they're going to be conducted randomly, but with the prediction as a speculation on her part that the largest companies in Washington will be done first, because they have found out that L&I plans on using this as a revenue generation source for the state. The fines are going to be in the five figures. And the fines will be per complaint plus per element of the complaint. So if a complaint alleges multiple violations of the law, the fines will be levied not for the whole complaint as one thing, but for each individual element of the complaint. So one complaint with five elements could be a minimum of $50,000 in fines if a company is found in non-compliance. Already, we are in non-compliance in terms of how Paychex is doing the pay stubs. Michelle, you left before I was able to tell you about this because I only went to the seminar on Friday. The pay stubs are required to have three elements of reporting on them for the amount accrued in the pay period, the amount of paid sick leave used in that pay period, and the balance remaining. Our pay stub, at least my pay stub, only shows the balance and something about accrued, but the accrued is also a balance. It's not in the pay period. So the numbers are just wrong. And when I spoke to Vanessa on the phone this afternoon, she wisely pointed out that we should also look at the pay stubs that are being given to the lifeguards, the front desk people, and the assistant managers to see if they're also similarly incorrect. It could just be that the error is for the benefited employees only, but that only reduces slightly the error, the non-compliance matter. It's something
that... That is something that I sent to them before the last payroll that you sent to me and told me what needed to be changed, and they told me they changed it, so
and,
I'm going to look at my email right now to see if the last payroll was indeed corrected, but I mean, if you're going off of...
I'm going off... I looked at the very last pay stub that I got, which was for the period that they did promise to make the correction. And indeed, they changed something, but they did not correct it to bring us into full compliance.
So,
again, it wouldn't have been on that pay stub, actually, Richard, because I sent it to them, and they usually don't
is that there are compliance issues industry-wide, according to the chamber. This is nothing unique to Paychex. It's, you know, they're having issues. And so it might be prudent for you and Richard to sit down, look at a lifeguard one, look at the different ones, and see if compliance is across the board okay, or if there's just certain ones that aren't, and then address those. If it's across the board issues, with Richard's information is now, I would suggest you sit down and just see what it is it needs to say. If it's still not saying that, you know, the next time it runs, you can take a look and see it, because we don't, you know, we need to be in compliance, and I know it's an issue. It's not your issue. It becomes our issue. And I'm not saying you are not doing what you need to do, but we do need to follow up on it.
Yeah, no, Michelle, the fault is not yours. It's just...
It's just the nation of this. It's not just the pool. My checks don't show that. So companies, and the company I worked for previously don't show that.
So this is
statewide, whatever, because the whole thing is having to...
Does that sound reasonable? Sit down, next pay period, take a look at the checks, state pay stubs, or can you do it prior? Or however, if you and Richard can work it out and figure out what it needs to say, what it's not saying, and, you know, just keep at it. We really appreciate the diligence on both of your behalves.
Okay, yes.
Good. Thank you.
Okay. A while ago, I was contacted by an organization called AWC, the Association of Washington Cities, and I passed out some of their literature earlier tonight. AWC functions similarly to WCIA, except that WCIA handles more counties, where AWC is geared specifically towards cities and small municipalities and special purpose districts. As a pool, they can handle insurance coverage for our property and liability, as well as some of the other areas of insurance that they offer, such as medical, dental, vision, for employees. So this is something that Ellen asked me to look into and to report to the board. This is preliminary information. More information will be forthcoming, and at that time I will make a report and recommendation. Any questions in that regard?
I think, yeah, I was Commissioner Shipman for the record. Definitely when we were, I was there with the conversation with Ellen, when asking about, you know, if the possibility of, say, changing over to the AWC instead of the WCI, was more on for having information for the pool with the insurance and stuff as the district and not as much of the employee part. So you're saying that there's like the benefit of it would be for some of the employee stuff that we'd be able to offer, say, insurance through them, like a larger group for a better price.
That's right. It all
if
depends
we came
on
down
the...
to offering that instead of having a stipend percent onto their pay.
It all depends on how the numbers shake out.
But it's a more comprehensive plan. The WCI just does property liability insurance. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right. I'll be interested to hear more information.
But I would definitely like to see where it is a clear separation of what WCIA offers us in comparison to AWC, like the exact
apples
stuff.
Apples to apples.
Apples to apples, not including the employee insurance.
Oh, well, that's, yeah, no, we have
like
to do
just
comps.
The property insurance part of it,
yeah.
and the district, and then be able to see the extra bonuses.
If you want to.
Along with those.
The add-ons.
Right.
Well, and Commissioner Frangela Anderson, along that same report, I'm familiar with AWC, but the WCA has been really great at customer service. I mean, weighing all the factors and how easily they are to access and how quick they are to respond. Not that we haven't worked with AWC at this point, but adding into that report the extra support
trainings
that we have received and the trainings for everybody at WCIA, you know, that's a comparison also, you know.
Which your comment reminds me of one of the backing up one point to the Seattle Southside Chamber of Commerce. The training aspect of what they can offer, I feel to be much more valuable than any other training that I've received from MRSC or AWC or WCIA so far, because it's a small group setting where the question and answer period is much more responsive. And instead of trying to compete with 40 to 50 people to get my questions answered, this was a group of only seven. So it was really bad.
Was that sort of stuff but relatable to come across with stuff for being like a district and government entity versus like small private businesses?
Yeah, that's what I was...
Not so much, because a lot of what they're covering is legal changes. And
like
those are going
like
to affect all entities, regardless of public or private. In this case, it was the paid sick leave law. Annual dues for us would be $315, based on our having 12 full-time equivalency employees. Christine Selleck helped me do the math and figure that out.
And what do we get from that? Just a membership, or do we get to have
trainings?
Our
It's just trainings.
Well, trainings plus a spot on their website where we can link our website information onto
their... Does that work with
their
mobile app that they offer, it looks like?
I'm sorry?
It looked like they had like a mobile app that they were providing.
I'm not fully...
Or is that extra stuff to have, like, say, a thing in the magazines or...
Yeah, they have when you go to their website, you'll see what that would amount to. They also have events throughout the month, meetings and socials and, you know, meet and greets and lunch and learns, like the one on Friday.
Without lunch.
Bring your own brown bag lunch, yeah. But that's fine.
Sorry, one quick. What was the price again? That we
$325. $315. Which is the lowest of the rates that they offer.
Okay. Do we have, like, what? So basically, we need to look at online on their site and see, like, what we get at the lowest rates.
Yeah, well, there's two levels of membership. There's what they call Classic and what they call Premier. Premier members, of course, are going to get much more benefit, but they're paying in the like $6,000. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I had a different question. Sorry, can I move on to the, or are you still talking to the sales?
I'm good.
I still have a couple things to bring up.
Okay, I've got something. Okay, go ahead.
I got an email on Saturday from Andrew LaRue of the Valley View Sewer and Water District that on July 12th, they're having their open house here. And in the past years, somebody from the Tukwila Pool has attended, or we've just sent information. I don't know what information we have to give them in terms of printouts beyond our brochure, our schedule.
That's what we handed out last year, and I don't think there was any swim passes. I don't think we had anything.
Well, it should be information on swim lessons, probably the kind. But Michelle can work with you on that if that's. I mean,
they just need to know by tomorrow so that, because, and he apologized for telling me this with short notice. Is that he has to go to press on Wednesday.
Right.
He's going to be bringing it to the board tomorrow, so he needs a decision from us whether or not we want to be included on their flyer announcement.
So, Michelle, are you able, is this July the 12th, are you able to get together a packet of brochures and swim information to drop at the sewer district? You don't have anyone here, but just... to give them information to provide at this open house.
Yeah, sure.
Is that
okay?
I was included on that email. I think last year, because of the time frame, we didn't have somebody available.
It's not worth it.
Okay.
I've gone every
okay.
year almost.
I just wanted to make that clear that yeah. they would like somebody to be here, but I agree. I think if we just drop off the information.
I've gone two of them. It's usually on a Thursday, and it's from like
three to five or something.
It's a long period of time, and it's really very few people are here. It's Pam Carter, you know, it's just your typical people. It's not a big community event. And so for the investment staff versus just having information available, I don't know, just my recommendation that we just have information available and not.
So what are we going to give them, like 100 copies of the... Of
well,
the,
you, Michelle can... Yeah,
you guys can work.
Michelle.
Yeah, you and Michelle can do that.
To be discussed later.
All right, so then I'll say yes to him tomorrow.
Yeah, I think it's...
For make sure you're clear to let him know that we're not going to be... We're not going to be in person. We're going to just provide information.
Right. Okay. And that's all I had.
Commissioner Zapdiel, I just wanted to just mention, Richard, about, I can't remember where, so just quickly on the commissioner's stipend, there was something in your report about that stipends would not go into effect the year that they were elected.
I actually knew that too.
And I've read the same article you did. I've also read another MRSC where it's not quite that clear. So I'm just thinking that we need to check with Brian on the interpretation, whether this is considered salary that we vote on that doesn't, that would then not go into effect on that cycle that you're electing, because that makes a difference July 1st if we start, because it's coming up pretty quickly.
Well, in light of the resolution that was passed,
yeah,
where it states explicitly that stipends are paid for attendance at retreats, special meetings, and regular meetings, there's no change in policy that needs to be voted upon. However, if the monies for those have not been paid out in actuality so far, the question becomes, was it a matter of people just doing the election to forego the payment, as Commissioner Zapatil and Commissioner Frangiello Anderson forego their regular stipend?
So, Richard, no, I think we're talking about something else. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about where it says, until the next adjustment is announced, the per diem rate may not exceed $114 with a yearly maximum of $10,944. When a board sets its compensation within the parameters of the regulation, the new rates would not go into effect until the next term of office. So I don't care about the rest of it. I just want to know, July, are we paying people $114 still, or are we going to be paying the new rate that goes into effect July 1st? The way that I'm reading this is I'm reading that it's similar to city council members who vote their salaries in, and use extending that that idea that if we're, I just would like clarification. July 1st, do we follow the OFMF, Office of Financial Management's recommendation, or what it sets the new one at, or are we setting $114? Aaron's going to get that until the end of his six-year term. These people are going to get it, you know, Jerry and Christine for another year, and then it will get reset, then they'll get paid a different rate. You know, I'd like clarification what this means, because that we need to be able to pay our commissioners what they're due and with confidence.
Well, the critical word there is rate. So when the rate changes, if our policy is to pay the prevailing rate, then there's no need to change our payment. Our payment, in other words, our payment will necessarily automatically go up when the state sets a new rate.
That's what I had assumed, but it does
but
not.
But it doesn't. It's not clear.
When look at take a quick
because it says may not exceed with the yearly may not it exceed says, the 100 when the yearly regularly. When I mean, it's pretty clear.
No, when a board sets its compensation within the parameters of the regulation, the new rates would not go into effect until the next term of office. It's in the yellow part. And what I do know that's the case for city council members. They can't vote on their own and then collect it. So they got city council members being paid different amounts.
But
so
that's but see, you answered your own question. The first part of that statement is when the board sets their own rates, in that meaning that the TPMPD does not set its own rate.
Yeah, we do, because we can say up to a maximum of 114. It's up to 400. We could set it at 60.
What does it actually say?
Well, currently it doesn't have it. There's no rate. I don't think there's a dollar rate.
I'd like clarification, because to me it's ambiguous.
I know. I agree.
Enough.
I would agree with that. There it doesn't. I don't know that we have a rate.
No, it shall be compensated per RCW. We put that in there so we didn't have to change it every one. We just do it per the law.
Right.
So we're setting it for the maximum. So we are setting a rate, which is, we could choose to do $25 if we wanted. We don't have to do it per the RCW. We could do it
but
differently.
But if it says per the RCW,
no,
then the rate that is set by the state is the rate.
But no, that's what we set it at. So we, through policy, said, yeah, we're going to go ahead and set it per the RCW. We're going to set it at the maximum. We have a choice on how what we set it to. We could say 25. We just can't be above $114.
But I think it needs to be, you're right about the clarification, that maybe we need to change. I mean, I hear what he's saying, because we don't have a dollar amount. We're saying that we're abiding by the RCW, so that if RCW says the rate's going to go up.
Well, so that what that sets,
right,
this sets that. That's, we're okay in our policy.
Right.
Because we're saying we're going to go in accordance with what the policy is
for
the OFM.
I don't believe that it's as free as you're thinking, Vanessa. And the reason is because the law does not give you, as the commissioners of a special purpose district, the ability to set rates above what's allowable through the RCW. Whereas cities and towns
right here, it says Metropolitan Park District Commissioners, here's the RCW, selected by election according to RCW, blah, 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 shall perform their dues and may provide by resolution passed by the commissioners for the payment of compensation to each of its commissioners at a rate of up to $90 for each day or portion of a day spent. So you do have the flexibility within the RCW to choose what you're going to compensate.
Right, but that's not what the letter is really addressing. Cities and towns who can set their own salaries also set the hours of required
performance. No, I understand it, but what it's reading, I agree with you. I think we can do it July 1st. I'd like Brian to take a look at this language with this highlighted and say, does this mean they can't take it within this term? Is this saying that they can't take it until they can't increase the rate until the next term? So
I think we're locked in at whatever rate we were elected at, we have that rate until the time that we are reelected and someone else is elected.
I think we're right. I think you're right. I'm hearing three commissioners who all read it this way, so I think it's prudent to check to make sure that we're...
To get the clarification. No, I agree. I think it needs to be clarified.
And highlighted exactly like this.
I mean,
this is what I'd like Brian to just give us that clarification, because there's confusion here. I'd like to have some commissioners for what do you think?
Oh, I read it the way he read it, so but that's okay.
That's important.
When somebody says one thing and somebody says something else, so what I'm seeing is two different ways of reading the same thing. So I think it's usually wise to go to the attorney.
And just
at that point. But,
yeah, I would refer
to
how
Richard read was how I read it. So
I had assumed that it automatically went an increase, because I saw a different MRSC that talks about the increases in July. It was an older one that was a little different. So when I read this, I read it differently. So if you can check with Brian, I think that would, just to get complete clarification so we know.
So exactly what is it that he's going to be asked to clarify?
The part that you've highlighted, when a board sets its compensation within the parameters of the regulation, the new rates would not go into effect until the next term of office.
Wait, what are you looking at?
Where you're highlighted, the last
right, the yellow
line
right,
of the
yellow,
highlight.
Your yellow right there. The very last.
Oh, yellow. The last sentence. Okay.
Yeah. So... in July, rates will be increased by the OFM. Does this mean that they become applicable to our commissioners July 1st, or do they have to wait for their new term of office? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. I think it's that you do get it then, but I just, this MRSC blog seemed to be contradictory.
Well, I think that it's a very big thing to make sure we know exactly what it is.
I don't think it'll take very long.
No,
I think it's a pretty simple. I think
so,
he's going to do
that.
And
simple.
in the context of this memo or blog or whatever it is.
So we have some more for Richard. Are we ready to move along? So business item 7A, social media policy.
Are we skipping tech from the pool advisory committee?
Oh, sorry. We reports also to school of pool elementary, which I believe there is in there for the minutes and stuff for the look at that one. And Sharon typed that all up.
Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you.
Well, but I don't think it made it out.
This is for sure. I have a March meeting. It's not the April.
Well, I think that it's been under the assumption from previously that
only approved.
That only approved minutes from the impact coming, which would be the month, 2 months behind for each of our meetings to look at.
Okay.
And that's something I think going forward with the TPAC, that when they changed the bylaws, they could always
look
just
at
do a brief synopsis of their last
right meeting. Before necessarily.
But this
a draft
going back to
an approved.
Right.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, there's some. But I do know that I'm discussing that. There was concern to have a continued conversation on other subject matter for tonight's meeting. One was with the increase of theft and stuff at the pool and like looking into security cameras and that sort of stuff. And then the other part's going to be a big number of email about volunteer background checks for a discussion at the meeting. Are we ready to move along then to item 7A, social media policy from Old Business
Thank you, TPAC, for the record.
Yes. Thank you, TPAC.
Social media policy, right?
So the social media policy. So we have this one that was ripped.
No, we're not going to talk that.
We're not.
Not tonight.
That's not tonight. That was just
that's
example.
Just a guideline for us to.
Okay.
Something.
So we had a possible social media policy to review for the district to review over the next month or so. But tonight we are looking at the social media policies for employees of the pool.
Yes.
And Richard or Michelle, which one of you want to report? Do we want to ask them for the report on this?
Yeah,
well,
to present.
Present.
Yeah, this is the social media policy that I culled together from various sources off the internet. And Michelle and I sat down together and went over it. And Michelle, would you agree that you blessed it and are in agreement with what's written there? And that this would be the social media policy just for the employee handbook section, dealing, giving guidance to the lifeguards and front desk people and all your staff people, right?
Oh, so this is only for the employee handbook?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, I wasn't clear on that. I am clear now.
My concern with how this is written and how it looks and stuff like that is that is it in the same pattern of flowing of the rest of the employee handbook?
Yeah,
it
that's,
seems that like a lot of the other policies are written out a lot more like the one we have for review. So I'm kind of wondering if this should be reset up and designed to read more like the actual employee handbook, the rest of the employee handbook does. Even though I like all the information that's in here, I think that it needs to be set written into the format that is congruent with the rest of the handbook.
This was a brainstorm first step.
No, I think it's a great collection of ideas and information.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of stuff. I kind of looked through the employee handbook and it looks like it kind of would go in at, I had 8.11 is what to insert it in. But there's just a lot. I guess going along, I concur with Commissioner Shipman. It's very colloquial. It's very,
could you use
very much as if someone's talking. It's not Not that I want it to be really formal, because, you know, we're talking, a lot of this goes to lifers. They have to be able to understand it, but there's a lot of contractions like don't and you know,
right.
It's those kind of things I would like to see limited.
I would like, it's like less buddy-buddy, we're friends talking about stuff, and have it
what?
Be more, this is what the rules are, and you need to abide by these rules. Like, it, you know.
So, like, this whole thing, I'm just going to pull out number three. Do not disparage others. Slander and libel lawsuits could cost you more than you could afford to pay. The whole part about, yes, the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution guarantees freedom of speech, but these are not, for example, no one has a legal right to yell fire. I mean, all that I could see struck through. I just don't think that's as necessary in this as the fact is that's do not disparage others. I think that's the main idea.
Well, and it wouldn't be, if it's going to go in the employee handbook, I'm sorry, I don't look at it as a social media policy.
So it's not. It would be section 8.11. It would be social media usage guidelines.
Right.
So, like,
exactly.
So that's what I've got, because I looked at different things. That's what I came up with, social media usage within this book. It would go, I'm not sure where I had it. But it would go, we're in with the employee conduct section, in section 8, somewhere, wherever it would be appropriate to go in there. It's, you know, I appreciate all the work. It's just, I think there's too much. And the whole section at the end about basically if you find yourself wondering if you could, I would just put that with employees who fail to follow the TPMPD employee social media usage guidelines will be subject to disciplinary action up to and including termination.
Yeah.
Rather than all the, you know, I don't know, I just, that's...
To me, I took this away as an employee, and I don't, you know, I mean, I didn't know that... I took this away as, like, does my employer think I'm stupid, and it's like a slap in the face. I mean, to me, I took it away as a very negative, a real negative impact. There's a lot of good things in here, and I'm just being honest. I mean, I think it needs to be worded more like the employee handbook, and I think there's some very useful things. I think that there's just way too much when you're talking about teenagers or young adults. But that's my takeaway from it, that I just was...
This is Commissioner Nipper. I'm going to agree with what everybody has said. The only thing that I would add is that if I were the audience reading this, I would come out confused about the line between the personal and
the right.
What has to do with work, and I would be saying, well, am I, you know, are they going to go after my personal, you know, my personal post or my, it doesn't seem to be a clear delineation between how you represent yourself as an employee of the pool and just, you know, you and your personal life. So I don't have a fix for that, but I think making the language more along the lines of what's in the handbook will help, because a young person or an employee just doesn't want to know, what can I do, what can't I do? You know, what are the expectations? They're not gonna, when social media is already a fuzzy thing, so they're gonna need real clear expectations, I guess. They use what Vanessa likes to say, the clear, clarification. So that's my comment about this. I was looking at like the police and some of the other social media policies, but they're not really employee handbook.
Right.
They're not employee handbook type things. But one of the reasons I went there was because I knew they were a union, and I knew that a union would push back on the personal lives of their employees to be sure that their personal boundaries are, they can still be a human off work.
Yes.
And so what, there may be ways to address this by looking at employees who have, employers who have
strong in employee advocacy, so it's really clear where the lines are at. I hope that makes sense what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I looked at the police, because I knew they've been in the media for having employees that have said things that they really shouldn't be saying, and they've had to tackle the problem.
Clearly, there a social media policy is going to have two giant sections or parts. The first is just the policy of the district in terms of who can post to our Facebook page, what needs to be put up there and what may not. And then the second part is how employees on the job, and let's face it, teenagers are addicted to their, you know, Facebook accounts or whatever else they're using. So they're going to want to use social media, you know, if you let them 24/7, you know, outside of them sleeping. So the second page here starts getting into the fact that they're not going to be allowed to use social media while they're doing their job, because that's just utterly inappropriate.
That's what we're saying, though. Is like, I think that that's the sort of stuff we want to see for the policies. We want to see, this is what you are not supposed to do when you are at work. These are the things that you are not going to do. These are things that these people in these positions will do. These are the people that will put stuff on Facebook. These are the people that will do stuff on Twitter. You don't have this in this position. You don't have this. The rest of this reads basically to me as a training piece of paper, like if you were doing a training to say, these are things that you shouldn't do. I mean, there needs to be a cut and clear, yes, no, no, yes, you do this, and that's it.
Okay, but here's
a guideline for being able to do training.
Here's where it gets a little bit murky. It's clear that while people are working, any use of social media is out of bounds, because it's not their job to be doing social media while they're working. When they're not working, people talk about their jobs. That's a problem. If what they're saying on social media about their jobs, about their coworkers, about their boss, about the patrons of wherever they work, all that stuff, once it gets put out in social media, it's kind of connected to us, right?
I understand that.
So it's not something that we can just...
And I think that's part of what we need to put on there is to say, if you go out there and you say stuff about us that is negative and or sometimes even positive, that that's not allowed and that's not part of the thing. If you have a problem with your job and how things are working, then that's fine and let people know. But as soon as you start including the name of the pool, the district, then that's putting yourself setting up for termination.
So...
Well, I'm sorry, but I have to interject. This is Commissioner Newfer. Remember, these are public employees, and they have rights when it comes to their ability to speak freely and whistleblow and things like that. So it brings up something where we have to be sure that whistleblowing is
protected. That's like a proper channel.
Right. Well, they should, but...
Social media, Christine, social media is not the place to be a whistleblower. There are proper channels for, like Aaron said, whistleblowing is done in a way that does not get everybody from, you know, Pakistan to China involved, like social media does.
I would just say that's true in the sense that, yeah, you look at a whistleblower policy, you follow the procedures, but I do remember going to a training about public employees, and they have like an extra layer of protection because they're civil servants in a sense. So whatever they do, I think we just need to make sure that we're not crossing over some sort of government protection that maybe isn't afforded to someone in the civilian world, but in the government world, they may have a little extra protection. So that's my main comment.
Commissioner Commissioner Zapfel. So I'm looking at the employee handbook, and like, so for example, political activities is addressed. Mm-hmm. And that's a similar kind of thing. You have a right to, so it says may participate in political partisan activities, or, you know, it talks about that. So I would assume that this would go, you know, kind of the same thing about rights. You know, that you have rights, you know, to be able to post on your own, but please remember that if at any time you're posting as a Tukwila pool person, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, you, it's proper to help, you know, both
right.
for this channel.
Yes.
And I think that's going to be addressed, but yeah.
That's kind of where I'm seeing this. So I'm hearing the same thing, Richard. There's two pieces. And Michelle, what you don't know is that last night, I just distributed this earlier, it's a social media policy for the district, which is a separate kind of thing. And so, for example, I'm just going to read from it. And so, like this, and this is a very typical one that I found on... No, I'm just going to read the purpose. I lived this too long last night. I don't want
to... Just wanted confirmation. She said she was going to read through it.
But I want to talk about exactly what we're talking about, that there's two different pieces. So this policy establishes guidelines for the use of social media in the performance of the Tukwila Pool Metropolitan Park District business. It also provides guidelines for conduct by district employees who use social media to engage with patrons on behalf of the district. This policy is not intended to address employee personal use of the social media sites. Refer to the district employee handbook. So these kind of things, then, and this was from Bonnie Lake, which got referred to many times on MRSC, different, and many different ones lifted. So I created this, and we can talk, this is not being presented tonight, but it's something that I think goes in conjunction with the employee handbook piece, which I personally strongly believe this is employee handbook piece.
So if I understand, so yeah. It sounds like we kind of put the cart in front of the horse, that we really need to get that policy, the draft that you kind of work through, and then of the verbiage going into putting it into the employee handbook. If I'm hearing that correctly, kind of basing some of the language from there.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you can certainly, right. Absolutely, I didn't know what the priority was, Michelle, how big a deal is it that you need to have employee guidelines for social media usage right now? Is it a rampant issue?
What was the first part of your question?
How big a deal is it that you have in the employee handbook social media usage guidelines? Is it a rampant issue where you have to crack down on employees right now?
It is a problem.
Okay.
Because they're doing social media at work.
Well, that's.
But that, I mean, that's addressed in the employee handbook, though.
Right.
You know, it may not have it as specifically laid out, but that's not okay.
It's not an issue to where they're using it, and where I've seen in the past, like in the future, you know, like past at the Y, where we had an employee make fun of another employee on Facebook, or had an employee make fun of a patron who came to the pool, and you know, it worked out around to where the person that got made fun of found out about it. Because the person had stated that they worked at the YMCA, was their employment status on Facebook, and they made fun of, they described the person, and they kind of got back. So, no, that particular part is not an issue of the pool right now.
So why don't we do this? I don't see a lot of consensus to move this, like, I'm just sorry, Aaron. I'm hearing a lot of kind of, this needs a little bit more work. How about I send over to everyone what I worked on this part and see how it can, like, you know, do what you want with it. And then maybe that might, and knowing that these pieces need to be put in the employee handbook to follow the guidelines within the, to insert into the employee handbook, those more employee-specific ones.
Well, because I'd like to have, I don't have the employee handbook in front of me, and I'd like to have the opportunity to be looking at the handbook to see what we already have in there, because I know that we've spent some extensive time, and that too, and I think that's a great idea.
Does that make sense?
What did you say?
Does that make sense to you, Michelle, too?
Yes.
Okay.
And Richard, I just sent you the YMCA social media policy for us to review.
Thank you.
So I think, Aaron, I'm just trying to be really clear. I will send this out. This is just a draft. I'll send it to everyone. But, and then the intention is to create a district social media policy, and then a piece that's going to go in the along the lines of the employee handbook to be inserted. Does that summarize? Okay.
So everybody feels like kind of got a good idea of what we're
so
moving forward with.
Clear,
it. Just to be clear. Yeah. We're looking
sorry,
at
Aaron.
Get more of the policy stuff set up, okay. Like along with the social media policy that Commissioner Zapico's already put together for the district social media policy. So they more correlate in line. And then we'll revisit this again at the next meeting. But on a side note, I think that we should be looking at, like, on the side with training, that we do something talking about social media, not necessarily, you know, as soon as we have what these policies are.
So just to be clear again, sorry, because I did have a question. So we are going to present this at the next meeting. Or you're going
well,
to ask the president
to
put
it. I'm
going
to give it to staff and see, you know, see what they want, like,
okay.
And then they can decide when they want to bring it forward. I just did this. I mean, something. We just needed something. So this is a start.
Well, it has to go to TPAC also.
Yes.
Before it would actually come to us, right? I know it didn't. I know that was on my questions.
All right.
Can I, if you have comments, suggestions, deletions, improvements to that which I wrote, can you take a red pen and send your comments back to me so that I can cull them together?
Well, we can all put what we like or don't like or however we do it, comparing it once they get this copy.
Well, this is completely different.
Right.
This is separate. So this is the employee handbook piece. So knowing that these are the information employee handbook, maybe, you know, if we can give feedback to Richard so he knows what we're thinking of for the employee handbook. Like I heard from Commissioner Newfer, you know, more of very, you know, maybe a little clearer.
Right. Or, you know, comments in the margin, just this is too XYZ to colloquial or...
And so, I mean, the direction is to make it more in the lines of the employee handbook. So how that reads,
right?
This so like the language employees who fail to follow the social
right.
use guidelines will be subject to disciplinary action up to include. That's like standard throughout the entire employee handbook, like that kind of language. But I think we can all give feedback. And when would you like it by?
3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Okay. So I have time to put it into the next agenda packet?
Oh, it's going to be in the next agenda packet?
Well, but to get feedback to you so you can recreate it, I just want to give you
Sorry, Commissioner Frangelina. So this is going to be back in with corrections that we give him in next month's agenda.
Feeling, if you agree, Michelle, that the... social media policy for the employee handbook is a much more pressing concern than the policy for the general policies book, right?
No.
I mean, I'm trying to find out what Michelle feels. Can you hear me? Like July? Okay.
So, okay, let's, knowing that we want policies to go to TPAC, let's keep that in mind.
Well, and this again, the president of the board sets the agenda, so that'll be up to President Gengler if she wants to bring it forward next month. So we will
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not tied to this. I just
it's
no,
a
no. I heard a lot of different comments, and to bring them all together would be helpful so that when I present it to Ellen so that she can decide whether or not she's going to put it on the June agenda or the July agenda, at least I have something that's, you know, fully...
How about this, Richard? Sorry. How about this? Why don't we all take a look at, you know, we've got this. Let's all take a look at this other one also and give you feedback on both. And then you can buy, let's say, what's the date? Let's figure a time. By the 25th, a week Friday.
Of May?
Yeah, 25th of May.
That's great. That's great.
Sorry?
On both of them. That
on both. Nice. Let's give feedback on both by the 25th of May. And then you and Michelle can work together on presenting the two pieces, the district policy and the employee handbook amendments. Or amendments.
Sounds good.
Knowing that it needs to go to TPEC, or talk to Ellen about when she would like to see that schedule. Does that seem reasonable?
When does Ellen get back?
To tomorrow.
Silence, so we'll continue to move along to business item number 7C, Commissioner Retreat Agenda.
Ellen asked me to just bring up the fact that it's scheduled for June 2nd at Friends Cafe, 9:30 to 3 p.m. Again, May 25th, I'm going to need your food selections so that I can put together a unified order.
And that's based off of us going online and looking at what they have
at the
offer.
At their menu online, right.
And then getting back to you.
Did you ever get into their menu?
Yeah, it's difficult.
I had trouble getting in.
Thank you, it's not just me. Their website was...
I got into the...
Online ordering.
Like the online ordering, yeah. So
it's not easy.
You could just know what to order there.
Yeah.
So.
Would it be helpful if we were able to get like a menu and be able to have it brought up possibly for the event this weekend on Saturday if people will be around for that?
A printed menu?
A printed menu.
Do they have us?
I can print out what their menu, okay. Online menus are.
That's all it is. I guess that would have been clear as we knew to go. I just didn't know to go to the online menu. I was like going to the lunch menu and... So
they don't
just,
make it easy, I know.
Right. So, but that's a great.
It was the way it was popping up. I couldn't really click through and see the whole thing, I guess.
Do you
want me to know it by heart?
So I think if Richard, yeah, can make
I'll
a printed menu.
Print the menus and put them
Saturday.
In
Saturday.
And leave them in your mailboxes?
Yes, that's great.
Excellent.
And then we can go through a circle we want and return it to you.
I'm not going to be at the event. I'm just going to point out, I'm not the president.
45 minutes.
With two more agenda items.
Yes, and so I think that...
go ahead.
Keep moving forward.
We have the retreat for the agenda, which that's being put together by President Gangler right now, so we will be following along with that agenda when she has it and has it for the... retreat. So moving along then, if everybody's okay with that, to number 8, business item, maintenance worker mandatory memorandum job description for the TPMPD wage table. Would we like to have a motion to open separate discussion?
Do you want me to just start presenting it?
Or presenting Vanessa.
So this maintenance position or workers came to finance originally by Michelle, our director of aquatics operations, because through our process this year of learning about prevailing wages and the cost, she suggested that maybe we think about adding a position, a part-time position for very basic maintenance work. Things like changing shower heads, painting, door maintenance, reel maintenance, pressure washing, like just those everyday things. It's quite expensive and quite honestly difficult to find contractors to come in to do that. And so finance looked at it and looked at the financial impacts. It was not obviously budgeted for this year. And it's coming to the board because It's the board's responsibility to review positions, job descriptions, and set wages. So the research was done. Obviously, the biggest pro is it's more cost effective. But another probably more significant pro is that maintenance will be more regularly likely to be performed. Rather than just reacting, things will actually get done if you have time in the schedule built in. And hopefully the also idea was there might be consistency in work performed by having this, you know, if we were able to get someone in the same individual. Obviously challenges are going to be hiring an appropriately skilled employee and monitoring the quality of work. Michelle feels, I'm gonna speak for you, Michelle, you were pretty happy with the idea of having a maintenance worker.
Yes. Absolutely. I think like our last maintenance issue that we had, you know, the drains, the guy was out there for like 2 hours, I believe, or something. I had to look the invoice again. And we paid, I think, over $500, and that could have been a lot more hours. And it was just a man and a snake, you know, with those little tools. And there was anything else that was used to stop the drains. So it would be so much more beneficial if you pull for us to have someone that has their own tools that can perform that those types of maintenance this regularly. Those things come up all the time. That's probably the third or fourth time we've had drains cleaned out since I've been there last year. They should be done every 3 months. And we should be doing them proactively instead of reactive. I'm waiting until they create a big puddle, and they should be, you know, there's lots of things like the drains that we need to have done instead of waiting until something breaks or waiting until there's, you know, like I said, a big puddle on the floor or waiting until we have, you know, 20 lights out when light bulbs changed and stuff like that. So, be very beneficial to have someone. And there's probably things that, like, you know, walking around the outside of the building, there's probably things that I'm not seeing because I don't have time to go up on the roof and walk around the building and things that I'm sure that I'm missing that, that probably need to be taken care of.
And other examples of things that could be done are, you know, something that Michelle's currently doing because she is, you know, it's whether, you know, whether you don't want to train the assistant manager, but it's the backwashing of the pool, which is a nasty job. And, you know, Michelle's having to do it right now, which isn't the best use of this, of our resources as a director to be doing those kind of things. So there are pool-related, facility-related, and one thing I wanted to point out is actually my husband suggested this. Although Michelle was talking about a maintenance worker, my husband suggested, and I agreed, why don't you just create two levels right now while you're going to the work of approving job descriptions? Because there are times when you might need to just bring in an extra hand to do some jobs. And that way you can bring in another person at a lower pay scale. It's already set up. And Michelle's, you know, would obviously have her budget, and she knows how much, you know, you can budget throughout the year. So it's not intended to create two part-time positions. It's intended to create whatever the director needs based on her budget, if that makes sense.
So this is Commissioner Newfer. So to clarify, we're actually really talking about the maintenance worker to, I think that's a higher skill.
Yeah.
Plus the side,
if there's a necessity, so there might be a job, you know, and I know this, you know, you just, if you're a small contractor and you need an extra hand, and it, rather than go to having to contract with someone who's prevailing wage because it's a two-person job, you could maybe take care of it in-house with, oh, I know someone, a buddy of mine, and they can bring a person in, or not a buddy, but you know what I'm saying, someone can apply and be at a lower rate for the a assistant or lower.
This is Commissioner Newfer. Can we really do that though? I mean, a maintenance too, I can see as somebody who's there all the time or a certain number of hours and they feel more like an employee, but just calling in maintenance person one every once in a while doesn't feel like an employee to me.
So it's an employee as much as we control where they work.
Uh-huh.
We control their hours. We control, that's, that there's that difference between contractor and.
Yeah, but they're on call. It's almost like they would be on call. Like, can you really be an employee and just be on call?
Well, you can be, so correct me if I'm wrong, Michelle, sometimes you'll have like lifeguards who come in for this just the summer season. So you're just employing them for certain periods when it's convenient. So
that's seasonal. Yeah, that's seasonal. That wouldn't be for this.
I'm just suggesting it to have flexibility at this point. And I mean, Michelle might decide, well, I don't need a two, I just need a one. But rather than try to go through, have Michelle have a situation, well, I really do need another person to have to revisit this. It's based on budget, or she's gonna have to go by budget and what she needs and what she needs to hire.
Yeah, I think that's more concerned about the one.
For the future, possibly, but it's not, so that I don't run into a problem where I do need that second person, which there are a lot of jobs where it does take two people. Otherwise, it's going to be asking a lifeguard or asking me to do it, and that's outside of our scope. Does that make sense?
It does. I think I was just more concerned about how often you would use a maintenance worker one to the point where they would seem to be more of an employee than, I know you would be controlling them and the way that we would be paying them, and I know that we would be claiming them as an employee, but I don't know why there's something that's not, it doesn't seem right. It seems like you're almost, I'm going to just say it, it's almost like you're trying to get out of paying prevailing wage, but maybe that person could say, well, I should be really getting paid prevailing wage.
So that's one thing we did learn about prevailing wage is that this is exactly how that's how you do mitigate. There's no requirement for us to do that. There's no way that we are actually avoiding. They can't litigate on that. Saying, well, I should be paying prevailing wage because this is actually an allowable situation where employees can do tasks and be not subject to prevailing wage.
Commissioner Frangiello Anderson, for the record. I agree with what you're saying, because when I looked at them too, I looked at the position one as like, well, that's like temporary, like on call. I mean, I got number two, that made total sense. There was conflicting things, that there were like four line items that were similar, which I can see where one's busy, the other one could do. But I agree with what you're saying. It just seems something doesn't seem, it's not a seasonal worker.
Right.
It's going to be like almost like an on-call as needed. But it sounds like from what Commissioner Zapatil is saying is that this gives Michelle the flexibility going in the future. Right now, we're not saying we're going to hire two people.
Sure.
This just puts it in place so it doesn't have to go back again. But I agree that something with the one, something just doesn't sit right with me on that one.
I guess I wasn't really listening, I think, to Michelle, but I guess how much do you think you would utilize, or how much have you observed the use of a lower skilled maintenance worker one, like hours-wise? How much do you think you might call that person in?
I don't have the tools to be able to tell you to answer that question to the best of my ability, because we haven't ever had one. And in my previous experience, there's always been more than one disability person. So yes, there are jobs they can do by themselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's one of my concerns.
Around, you know, 10 hours or average a week. But even that will be on-call and, you know, on-call type work also, because we all know it's never convenient when the pool has drain issues. So although we would like to say it's 10 hours, you know, it might be this week is 16 hours and the next week it might, you know, be less. So... And as far as the job descriptions went, we went through the YMCA job description, the Fidalgo Pool maintenance position description, and the Tukwila School District job descriptions.
Oh, this is Commissioner Newfer again. The question I had, I couldn't quite recall this, but why do they provide their own tools? What was the reason? I forgot why, but why is that?
It is because, first of all, we're paying them a good bit of money per hour to have their own tools. The tools are extremely expensive. And most facility people have their own tools.
Tell you it's a standard industry practice. When you see the advertisements for that kind of labor, those postings always say must have own tools.
Tool on one of our jobs, that's going to be there. They're going to
absorb that.
Yeah.
So that's a question.
Don't buy Chinese tools from Harbor Freight.
So that's a question that I have, is what if they have don't have a tool that's required to,
so,
say, clean a drain, they're going to be required to purchase that?
So I think in here, if I'm...
Because it does say just basic hand and power tool, but it doesn't say that having a rotary
right.
snake.
Right,
or...
so a snake is a basic one. I mean, a snake is what's considered basic. Now, a specialty tool, like a grinder, you know, something that's more specialty.
Well, I think that even if you had like a power snake, that would be more considered a specialty, like a standard...
Because this
plumbing
is,
snake that you pick up
yeah, this
Devo.
Says basic hand and power tools. If I read that, of course, I'm not a mechanic, but I wouldn't think that I'd have to own my own snake. But
well,
I don't. I mean,
plumber,
I guess
yeah.
I would
plumber.
Say
yeah,
a
if
power
you're a plumber,
snake.
Yes.
I would say that if you had a standard snake, I would expect possibly that.
You know, I mean, I don't know if there needs to be something to say that basic hand and power and plumbing tools. I mean, it is a pool. They know they're getting into a pool. I get that part of it. But I look at basic hand and power tools as like a, you know, a cordless drill and a hammer.
It would be very difficult for us to come up with a list.
Right. No, I'm not saying I'm not saying a list.
Well,
I'm just saying plump at maybe adding plumbing.
Yeah. So hold on. Basic hand and power tools consistent with
facility maintenance.
With facility maintenance, but still, you know,
it's a broad spectrum of stuff.
Consistent with facility maintenance.
Or pool facility maintenance.
I have to agree with Jerry that adding the word plumbing is critical, because that's another set of tools that is very central to the kinds of work that's going to be done.
So,
yeah.
Must provide own basic hand and power tools, including plumbing. Related items or related tools?
Or just
tools.
Hand power and plumbing tools.
I would just do basic hand, comma, power tools, and plumbing.
Yeah.
Hand
and basic plumbing.
Power and plumbing tools. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you okay with that, Michelle?
Yes, I am. I'm sure we're going to end up changing that again at some point. Just being real.
Was like a pressure washer, for example.
Thank Vanessa for all the work that she's put into this, because it's very, very much needed. The pool is really needed. I need it. I mean, I wasn't able to put it as much time and effort into it as what she did, and I'm so thankful for that.
Well, I just followed your direction, so I'm glad it ended up with something that you were happy with, so.
Yeah. So how does this work? Does
that
have to go around and
approve it? Yeah, so the process is we're still talking about it, and then we can make a motion.
Okay.
You know, if someone wants to make a motion, then we can do a motion.
Okay.
And so just to be clear, the BOC's role is to choose to approve a job description and a wage scale. It's like, you know, we don't dictate whether the director of aquatic operations hires 5 swim instructors or 8 swim instructors. It's as needed based on them, so.
Yeah.
But we're also looking at the pay scale and the amount of hours of working at a pay scale, not necessarily just a pay scale and they can work on an unlimited amount of hours.
So Michelle's got a budget she has to work with.
Right.
So yeah, so it's limited, so and going forward next year in the budgeting cycle, we will be budgeting appropriately. She'll have a full, you know, allocation of budget next year. This is just for this year, for the remainder. And so that's how do we come about budgeting it? We're expecting a reduction in the repairs and maintenance, which has a $61,000 budget. So we're expecting to get a reduction from probably like 78,000-79,000 from that bucket. And also the reason a lot of this is needed too is we've had increased patrons of the facility, which has increased wear and tear, which also equals increased revenue. So that increased revenue is absolutely appropriate to offset that.
Can I ask Michelle a question? Michelle?
Yes.
How much work do you anticipate needing somebody to be able to do HVAC?
Yeah, so they're not, we're still doing McKinstry for the HVAC stuff.
Okay.
We have a contract, yeah, we have a contract for HVAC people.
I think that was in here.
Yeah, the boiler.
In fact, I actually, when we were reviewing these, a lot of the maintenance job descriptions, I think every other one did actually have them doing pool HVAC equipment maintenance. And, you know, based on, you know, Michelle's experience and guidance, we took that out because that's just too important of a piece to be working on.
Yeah.
So, they don't have the Ferrari tools.
Risky.
Yeah.
Well, it could cause more damage than cost.
Yes.
Well, as Commissioner Newfer, I did look at everything here, and I know that there is a need for this kind of employee. I'm a little nervous because I somehow feel like it's going to cost more than we're imagining. And I'm a little nervous because I just don't know how difficult it's going to be to find a person like this. However, I do think it is needed, and so, you know, I would be supportive of putting in a building maintenance too, and I looked at the wages and I thought that those were pretty fair, the proposal of $25 an hour and $20 an hour, they seemed attractive enough for people, they weren't too low or too, you know, I think I'll be able to get candidates at that wage, so I just wanted to say for the two things that we would be looking at, I think the job description is adequate, and I think the amount is adequate that we would be paying a person.
I can tell you the guy at our apartment complex, Armando, he makes $14.50 an hour. When I told him we would pay $20, he was really excited.
Well, the position I think that Michelle was initially looking at was the $25 an hour per position. So it's a little higher because we have a higher expectation. So just to be clear that, you know, what the budget is based on is the higher one.
Not necessarily what we'll be paying them out of it.
Yeah, but they won't be working full time either.
Right.
So that's
also part built into that too.
So anyway, those are the things we would decide. That's where I kind of stand. Right.
Is there a probationary period?
Well, they're at will, so
it falls within the handbook.
Yeah, it falls within the handbook. If they're not satisfactory employment, then and then there's also the appendix where it would have the section about how they have to work for it to be at, but a building maintenance worker must be satisfactorily employed because it will, you know, the intention is for it to have the same steps as everyone else where they get, if they've been here for a year or 500 hours, depending on how that falls, then they get the next step like all the other employees. Just wanted to highlight that also. It's not reflected here because it's not for 2018. We wouldn't have anyone that, but the intention is it would be the same, equal to everyone else. And obviously there's a lot of value if someone sticks around for 5 years. You get your $5 worth an hour out of them in maintenance.
So I'd like to make a motion then, I guess.
Yeah.
Commissioner Newfer would like to make a motion that we approve the job description for maintenance worker 2 and maintenance worker 1, and we also approve the recommended, is it Schedule A? Let's see, for some reason that's...
Yes. The wage scale.
Newspaper. The wage scale of $25 an hour for 2 and $20 an hour for maintenance worker 1.
And can you do one more?
Oh, is there another one?
And addition to Appendix A when it's written.
Where is that?
On the next after the wage scale.
Oh.
Because that's the description that goes in the employee handbook.
Oh.
Is it the appendix A update, TPN employee handbook update?
Okay.
Yeah.
As recommended on the TMPD employee handbook application in appendix A.
I'm going to, I know she just motioned, but we did. Did we not amend the job description to add Fleming? And we're approving it the way it is at this point?
Let's see. Well, it looks like we need to amend it.
So we can amend the motion. Let's. Yes. When
we, so we just have to. Okay,
well, I've got it penciled in as adding just the word plumbing to the tools.
Yes.
And
hand power.
That is as amended.
So that's, the motion still stands. Is that correct?
I have lost track.
So your motion was to approve the job description?
The job description.
For maintenance 1-2 as amended.
As amended, there we go.
The wage scale as for the $25 an hour for building maintenance 2 and $20 an hour for building 1. And the employee handbook.
The appendixes would also have to include the wage and salary scale on page 61 because we have that as part of our employee handbook already. So
the wage scale, that's intended to replace an employee handbook as well. So these two pieces are employee handbook.
Yeah, it's just right. You have to.
Yeah. So this page, and then you'd be adding this in the employee. Actually, it all goes in the employee handbook. The job description's everything.
Right, but I mean, as separate appendixes, the page 62 is an appendix, and so is 61. They would be separate appendices in the employee handbook update.
Correct.
Okay, so maybe I should withdraw and do each piece. There's too much going on in that motion.
I like that idea to be able to approving each item, A, B, C, and D. The building worker 1, building worker 2, and the wage scale and the appendix A1 instead of all of it together.
You can do it separately. Or you can, do the job descriptions together and then the wage scale.
But would we not, would we not approve worker 2 ahead of worker 1? I realize the number sequence.
Yeah, I just did that because I started with one and then
going off the list.
Over to the second one. Why don't we do maintenance worker 2 because that's the most critical one. That was what I was thinking. And then do maintenance worker 1.
So a motion to approve maintenance worker 2.
Okay, the job description, a motion to approve the job description of building maintenance worker 2 as amended.
Period.
With the plumbing, right?
Yes.
Yeah, as amended. And.
No hand.
No,
just one at a time.
Just one at a time. Nothing more.
Commissioner Frangiello Anderson will second that.
Can I get an approval for the job description of maintenance person number 2 as amended with the job description of the extra tools needed in plumbing? And no further discussion on that job description. All in favor of approval?
Aye.
Aye. All against? Motion passes 4-0.
So what we want to do is the wage schedule.
Or do you want to do job description number?
Oh, you want to do job description number?
It doesn't matter.
Okay. Okay, and then Commissioner Newfer would like to make a motion to approve building maintenance worker 1 as
as amended. That's it.
Commissioner Zappel seconds it.
Can I get an approval?
Discussion.
Or that's their discussion, sorry. Yeah.
Commissioner Frangiello Anderson for the record. I'm all for maintenance worker number two. There's something about the job description for maintenance worker one that I just have a problem. It has a lot of stuff about it, but there's just things that I am not, I get that we want to have the option to be able to put it out there. I just think that it's too closely related to building maintenance worker two. Like I said, I'm all for, we need maintenance worker two badly. I'm all for that. I'm just having a real problem with building maintenance worker one.
So what, I mean, we can amend it if it's the, is it the whole thing or is it specific items on it?
It's specific. It's specific items and it's the whole thing and it's not clear about, to me, like Commissioner Newfer said, it seems like an on-call position,
to be fair, what you're looking into is my memo. If you look at the actual job description, mm-hmm. the rate of pay and hours and shifts, you wouldn't actually see any. Those actually read exactly the same.
No, and there's going to come a time that we would need that person. There's something with the description because four of the items are on maintenance worker two, who's getting paid $25 an hour, where this guy's getting paid $20 an hour. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of crossover, so I'm just not sure what maintenance worker one would do compared to maintenance worker two. You know, why would you? Maybe we'd bring worker two, one in because we're going to pay him $20 instead of worker. You know, it's not clear to me. That's all.
Sorry, I don't know if I'm interrupting because it's kind of breaking up a little bit. But so maintenance worker two has to have 5 years of experience,
mm-hmm,
and
right.
or experience,
right?
And the other one only has to have
two
years of experience.
Correct.
I think if I remember correctly, the top four things, like the difference is that mm-hmm. the person's supposed to prepare to handle multiple projects simultaneously where one wouldn't.
Correct.
Demonstrate skills in organization, time management, coordination, ability to work independently with minimal supervision, which is not the case in this. Ability to identify larger repairs and report recommendations to the DOAO. So I guess that's where I see the difference as being certainly more accountable, or being the one who has to be get the information to our director and discuss things with them and help handle these projects, whereas one is more of an entry level laborer.
But again, it's still so this person is going to be processed under the direction of aquatics operations and or the building maintenance worker two. So there could be a time when we're going to have worker two and worker one there at the same time.
Yes.
And worker one is going to report to worker two, but is there ever going to be a time where worker one is going to be there and worker two is not? So you see what I'm saying? We could always have two. That's what it's not clear what worker one's going to do. It's just confusing to me. That's all. I'm just, because, you know, is there going to be worker two, we don't need him to be here today because, but we're going to bring in worker one.
Well, I think the intention is that two, you know, and I appreciate what you're saying. It, you know, someone else other than Michelle might cut corners or something. But the intention certainly here is that I'm hearing from Michelle is number two is what is going to be there. If they need a one to as an entry level labor to fill in, that's what that is. It's not intended to replace two at any point. Is that correct, Michelle?
Yeah, so the intention of the maintenance worker one would be to support maintenance worker two so that they can do jobs safely and with an extra set of hands. So we're not using me or a laborer to try to help, you know, hand light bulbs or get them on the roof with him or whatever it is that we don't need to be doing that's not. Does that make sense? I mean, I have lifeguards cleaning out gutters. They're on the roof. They don't need to be doing that. So
come maintenance worker?
Well, the maintenance worker one. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, but how come maintenance worker two couldn't be cleaning that gutter if there's nothing else for him to be doing, or that person to be doing?
Wait, what I hear Michelle saying is, if it's a two person.
If it's a two person job, I get that.
That's part. I think that's what I'm hearing.
Okay.
So we're looking at, or it should be more of like a policy type thing where maintenance person number two is the person that's number one on call for everything, and is the person that decides if they need to have a second person is maintenance person number one come and assist them. And if the building maintenance worker number two is not available to do the job that we need to do, and it's within the scope of stuff that worker number one can handle, that person would be called secondary.
Yeah, that's a procedural implementation
right.
kind of procedure thing. I think
right.
that's totally reasonable.
So that information you just said would not go in the job description, right?
No,
just
no. It would be
right.
a procedural
right.
procedural implementation by
right.
yeah, by someone.
Sorry.
So my motion was to approve the job description.
As amended.
As well, yes. Job description as amended. Yes. So, is this something that we're going to move forward with? Or?
Do we have any more discussion about it? Or are we going to take it to a vote? So can we check on approval for building maintenance worker number one job description with the amendment of needing their own tools. Is that right? Do we have an approval for that? Ayes?
Aye.
Aye?
Aye.
Nay.
So just
there's
wanna,
three
yeah.
ayes and one nay, and that was from Commissioner Vangelo.
It did pass.
Yeah. Job description passed.
Slowly,
so now we have appendix.
So now
we're on to the volunteers.
No, we're
no,
not,
I'm
Michelle.
Not.
Sorry, we're still got the
and
wage scale.
And I don't
scale.
Think we're going to get to that one.
We've got the wage scale to do. And that's the appendix. What is it? A. What is it, Richard? Help me out.
For the
Appendix A1 update TMPD employee handbook update Appendix A1.
Oh,
yes.
In the existing employee handbook.
Yes.
It's right. It's after the last job description.
This doesn't say Appendix A1.
It wouldn't.
Okay.
No,
yeah. So
we need a motion to appendix
approve
Appendix
the
A1
revised 2018 scale employee handbook Appendix A.
A2.
Is that right?
A1.
Let me just see what it says in here. This is A2. The wage scale is A2. You can do A1 first if you want.
Well, there is already an A1.
We've got to do both. We've got to amend both.
No, in the existing employee handbook.
Yeah.
Right?
So we've got two separate things.
So that's
so the new one would be A3.
No. We're just going to replace it. We're just going to update it. This new one's going to just go here. It's going to be an update to here. We're just we're updating, revising Appendix A2.
A2, correct. But I think he's
okay. So the third one is
supposed
to be.
Yeah, we're
going to
get to that.
A2.
Yeah.
Then what is A1?
So A1 is like those little. The A1 are the. How people get to the next step, you know, after 500 hours of satisfactory employment, you can go to step B. So A1, it comes before the wage scale. So that these little descriptions, like with lifeguards and all the other positions have it.
Vanessa, for the sake of clarity, in during the editing process, if there is A1 already and A2 is the wage scale, is there an A3 already?
Yes. Those are the job descriptions. That's what we're gonna, so these will go into A3. So A1, if to make it easier, Christine, you can do this
A1.
This is the A1 revision, which would get added.
Okay. Oh, to the existing A1?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay,
just
good.
Add,
I think
that's fine. That's clear.
A separate step. So it's actually, we need to do the A1, and then we need to do A2, which is the
wage
scale.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'd be helpful if the person who put this together order. Just hurry.
Because now this is an amendment, right?
To update.
To update A1. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Commissioner Newfer makes a motion to update Appendix A1 with the building maintenance worker 1 and 2.
Description.
What's it? How do we say this?
As presented?
Huh?
In language as presented.
Better. Language as presented.
Commissioner Frangiello Anderson, second.
Open for discussion. So we're looking for approval of an update for the A1 revision, adding the job description.
Not the job description, it's just languages
presented.
Four languages presented for the update for A1 revision. Do I have approval?
All in favor.
All in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All against. Passed.
So it's an amended salary, wage and salary schedule?
Yeah.
Okay, Commissioner Newfer makes a motion to amend the wage and salary schedule for 2018 as presented in the packet.
Or actually, I would put the dollar amounts in this one, in the motion.
You would put the...
I just for the, because we're talking about wages.
Okay. All right. Okay. So for building and maintenance worker, $20, or building maintenance worker 1 at $20, and then building maintenance worker 2 at $25 an hour.
Vanessa, or Commissioner Zappel, second set.
Mm-hmm. Open for discussion. I think I need to write this all out first.
You get a what?
Write this out more, sorry.
Update A2.
Who seconded?
I did.
Seven.
Sorry, you don't have to rewrite it.
Did you hear my stomach growl? Because quiet is enough.
So, approval for motion on the table for the amending the wage scale, salary and wage scale, for maintenance position number 1 at $20 an hour and maintenance position number 2 at $25 an hour. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. 4-0 passes. So, moving on with that, and how the agenda is going, and based on the time.
Are you alive, Michelle?
Michelle? I'm not willing to stay.
Do we
it's too
have a motion on the table to
table sorry,
volunteer background checks?
Do we need a motion for that?
A, B.
Well, first you would need a motion to extend the meeting past 9 o'clock.
That's okay.
Can we just table a motion and adjourn then? If we would agree to table a motion right now?
Well, yeah, you have to table 8B and then you can adjourn.
So
there's still miscellaneous and rest, but.
Can we get a motion to extend the meeting past 9 o'clock for a couple minutes to be able to finish closing out?
Commissioner Zappel makes a motion to extend the meeting till 9:10. 9:05, sorry. 9:05.
Commissioner Frangiello Anderson, second.
Discussion? All in favor of extending the meeting to 9:05 to be able to finish?
Aye.
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 Motion passes 4-0. So we'll be looking at 8B to be able to table the volunteers' background checks till the next meeting.
So I make a motion, Commissioner Zavonic's motion, to table the volunteer background check to the next meeting, to the June meeting.
You can't hear that.
Did anyone second or no? Commissioner Newfer will second that motion.
Discussion. Looking for approval to move the volunteer background checks item 8B to the next VOC meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Passes.
Nobody seconded.
Christine.
We're going real quick, very quickly now.
We have like 1 minute left.
Okay, all right, sorry.
Now, agenda is miscellaneous. Is there any discussion for any other miscellaneous people to bring up?
I just have one little thing, and again, it'll bring it up at the retreat. I just want to make it known for the record that I do miss back when we did have an executive director, and even starting last year where we were getting weekly reports.
I do too.
From district administrators and aquatic operations. I just feel really like the communication is not happening, but I will keep bringing that up, and I just feel that it's, I felt it was very important.
I appreciate that comment, Commissioner Zappel. I agree. I liked a little bit more of an update rather than just the monthly meetings. I mean, although we're all there, but it's nice to do that.
All right. No reason for an executive session.
Yeah.
And we have one last thing to be.
Commissioner Frangela Anderson makes a motion to adjourn.
Commissioner Zappel seconds.
All in favor.
Good job, Aaron.
Thank you, Michelle. We miss you. Can you see us?
Go to bed.
Yeah, go to bed. You don't have to get up tomorrow. You're on vacation.
Fuck you.
No. I'll see you guys next week, or I'll see you Saturday.
Bless your heart. So travel safely.
It's past midnight by her.
Yeah, I know. That was why.
Bye.
Bye.
Night.